Okay, Chefra. So we're learning the Malach of Kosher. Kosher is actually unusual in that there's an entire perek about kosher. The perek is called Eilu Kosher. It's it's the 15th perek in the Masechta. Last time we spoke a little bit about what is considered kesher she'ena shel kayama, in the sense of when they tie the urials to the adonim, the Gemara says that that's not kesher shel kayama, and we were bothered by the kasha. Well, one second, is that so pasha that that's not kesher shel kayama? That might depend on the two opinions in the Yerushalmi about binyan l'sha. Right? That's what we spoke about last time. The big issue that comes up about kosher is as follows. There is a huge machlokes harishonim about how we categorize kosher. Turn to page 9. We're kind of going to cheat over here, in that, you know what, let's do the Gemara. Turn to page 9, we'll start from the Gemara. Right? Ritzuos min al visandal. Right, if you hear the Gemara is Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, it's two lines before the lines get wide. So itma hiter ritzuos min al visandal. If you undo the straps of a shoe or a sandal, so tani chad chayiv chatos tani idach patar ba'aser tani idach motu lachatchila. Three braises, right? One says doiraisa, one says derabanan, and one says heter gomer. Kasha minal aminal, kasha sandal asandal. So we have a stira, zok the Gemara. Gemara answers minal minal kasha. Ha dekani chayiv chatos bide ushbechi. Now this that we say that your chayiv chatos is talking about the shoemaker is not. Right?
Also from Gittin.
That could. Yes, exactly. Right? Mash, everything connects to Gittin, right? So that. Right, that's like the dye or something that they use for ink. So ushkafi are shoemakers. When you're a shoemaker and let's say you tie the shoe together, like if you tie the sole onto the shoe, so that's like a really permanent knot. Or we'll define it a little bit better in a few minutes. Ushkafi. Patra ba'asar bidrabanan. The type of knot, which is patra ba'asar, is a rabbi's knot. What does it mean, the rabbis? Not so. Rashi comments that rabbonim tie the shoes onto their feet and they leave it there for a long time, but they will undo it when they have to walk outside and it's like muddy, etc. As opposed to most people who. As opposed to most people who will undo their shoelaces, let's say at night, the rabbis apparently, I don't know if this means like there's a certain type of yeshiva guy, you know, who always keeps his tie knotted and just like slips it all over the neck. Yeah. I don't know if that's the pshat, but it's something along those lines. The type of knot that is heter gamur is the knot of b'nei mechuza. Rashi writes that B'nai Mechuza are very like haughty and they care very much about their clothing, so therefore they'll change their shoes all the time.
Not anyone like that.
All right. No one. Right? Sandal, sandal, okasha, the chayv patas, bidatayi, the kat, bidatayi. Right? The katri ushkafi, this, that, their chayv patas are talking about the Yishma'elim who lead caravans and they tie their sandals very tightly. Patava Aser Bidukumrita. Patava Aser are the sandals of most people. That these things they tie them, sometimes they untie them, etc. Now Rashi writes over here that it's Pa'amim Miskayim Shabbos Ochodesh. Right? That's a very important Rashi to keep in mind. That the Drabunan case, Rashi says, sometimes it is there for a week or a month. And then the third case is, Mutul Chatzchila, B'sandal d'nafke bei betray. Mutar chatzfila means the shoe that two people wear, right?
Two people wear it at once?
No, I think it means two people share a pair of shoes. There was a Rosh Hashiva in YU years ago, Rav Shimon Rum. So at Rav Rum's Levaya, they mentioned that Rav Rum, when he was in yeshiva in Europe, in Radin, he was a Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim, so Dr. Belkin was his roommate, and they had one pair of shoes between the two of them for a while. And one of them would be able to learn night Seder, the other would be able to learn morning Seder.
Morning Seder is longer. How do you decide?
Well, it depends on the time of year. Right? So the point is that they had one pair of shoes. Okay. So effectively, the Gemara is saying that there are three different levels of gnats. There are doiraisos, there are drabonos, and there are heter gomors. And we commented on Rashi. Rashi only gives a time being a week or a month, and those are times within the drabonons. Rashi never tells us how long it is for doiraisos, and Rashi only has a variable of time. If you look at the Rambam, Perek Yud Halacha Aleph, the Rambam writes, HaKosher Kesher Shal Kayoma V'hu Masa Uman Chayiv. Now, according to the Rambam, if you tie a Kesher Shal Kayoma and it's Masa Uman, meaning there are two variables, right? It will last for a long time, and it is a professional's knot.
Is that necessarily two qualifications, or is it the same?
They are two separate qualifications.
Can't be the same.
What? So let's keep on reading, right? Let's keep on reading. Kigon, Kesha Gamalin, Kesha Satanim, Kesha Ritzuos Min of a Sandal, Shekoshin Haratzanim, Bishasatziasan, Vachin Koki Yotzibaze. That is both Shokayama and Maisa Uman. Aval, Hakosha Kesha Shokayama, the Anal Maisa Uman is Pater, right? Meaning, if you have one but not the other, Kesha Shaina Shokayama, the Anal Maisa Uman is Mutrachatrila. So what the Rambam is saying is that there are two variables. If you have both variables, if it's Shokayama and Maisa Uman, then you're Chayiv. The Rambam does not flip it both ways. The Rambam says, Kosher Kesher Shokayama ve'eno Maisa Uman. He does not speak about if it's a Maisa Uman, but it's not Shokayama. Right? That case, there theoretically could be four possibilities. I know that you're Chayiv if you have both, if it's Shokayama and Maisa Uman. I know that it's heter gomor if I have two negatives, right? Not maisa uman, not shokayama. The Rambam only gives us one of the middle cases when it is shokayama and it's not maisa uman. The assumption of all the achronim is that the Rambam assumes that whenever you have one of those two variables, either maisa uman or shokayama, then you're going to be chayiv. Then you're not going to be chayiv, then it's going to be pat rabba asr, and it's going to be asr midrabba. Both is chayiv, neither heter gamor, one, not the other, is going to be pat rabba asr, although the Rambam only flips it in one direction. The Rambam only has a case of kesher shel kayama, that's not maisa uman.
But
maisa
uman for not kesher shel kayama?
Does not exist in the Rambam.
That would be according to
Achronim. It could be it doesn't exist in the world. It could be every kesher that's a maisa umin will by definition be some sort of kayama.
Right.
But it's not abundantly clear.
That's what I'm saying. It's the same thing.
But it's not exactly the same thing because I could be shel kayama but not maisa umin.
Yeah, but meaning you could be shel kayama, but that's meaning it could be shel kayama, like you could have something that's strong, but it's not going to be the meaning. That's not like the true definition of the Kesher Shokayama. So
okay. So, but the thing is here, if you look in the Achronim, like the Mishnah Brura, right? The Mishnah Brura, this is his Hakdama to Simin Shin Yod Zayin. Shin Yod Zayin is the Simin about Ksharim. So the Mishnah Brura says that it's clear in the Gemara that there are three different categories, chayiv, drabonan, mutar l'chatchila, according to the Rif and the Rambam, that the Mechaber agrees to, V'amachar desasim kavasai dino hachi imu kesher shel kayama, meaning it, you intend that it will be there forever. Meaning, the Mishnah Berurah writes, that you never set a specific time to undo it. Kesher Shel Kayama does not have to be mamish forever, forever, forever. But if the case is that you never set a time to undo it, to be chayiv has to be both Shel Kayama and Maisa Umin, then you're chayiv chatos. Right, and Shulchan Aruch later on, the Rama will say, "What is Ma'aseh Uman?" Ve'im hu kesher shel kayama ve'eino Ma'aseh Uman, or Ma'aseh Uman ve'eino shel kayama, then patar ava aser. Right, the Mishnah Berurah and all the Achronim say that there are two different middle categories. Rashi and the Rush, they say that it all has to do with time, but they do not exactly define the amount of time. We know that the middle category is a week or a month, but that's also a funny way of saying stuff, a week or a month. So let's kind of get beneath the hood over here a teeny bit. What's the raya to the Rambam? Or what tipped off the Rambam that it has to be a Maisa Omen? The Mishkan, we're in the Mishkan. We saw the Gemara last time about the Mishkan, that the people who track the, what's it called, the Chilazon, they make a special type of a net. That's called a, it could be that that's considered Shel Kayama because they make a, that's considered Ma'asoma because they make a special type of net. But the Vilna Gaon says that the raya is from the beginning of the perek, from the beginning of the Mishnah. Take a look at the Mishnah and try to bring a raya to the Ramban. The Mishnah on Kuf Yud Aleph on the days. One 11b. If I'd have something to put on the board, I would. But we'll get there, I hope. Yeah.
What's the difference between Sahanim and Kesher Shel Spina?
It's like multiple.
Not just multiple.
It means the people as opposed to the object.
It means the profession. A sapan is a boatman, no? A sefina is a boat. One of the binyanim in Hebrew is, right, there is a gazlan, let's say. A gazlan is a professional stealer.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yud has the Maisa of Remeya and Vuria, remember that?
Yeah.
So, Yitanu Chata'im min ha'aretz, Chata'im b'lo chot'im. So, what does Chata'im b'lo chot'im mean? So, the normal understanding is?
Sins but not sinners.
Sins but not sinners, right? However, the Rav used to say that the word should be pronounced Chata'im, I think with a Dagesh. A chata is a professional sinner. A chote is a sinner who happens to occasionally sin.
Isn't that upshot of the whole concept of the Gemara?
It's a, it's just a totally different way of looking at it.
Isn't the whole point that it's not about like the person as their mahus, but about their actions?
No, it is about the person. Well, maybe. But the Rav felt that the pshat in the Gemara is that there's a difference between someone who's like a professional sinner who sins all the time, and Bruya saying that person taka should be destroyed. Someone who occasionally sins, right, but the sinning is not like a chilek of their, right, atzmus umahus, if I want to use like Chabad language, right?
that's a different type of sinner than what's it called, than the professional sinner. So the raya to the Rambam, or the diuk of the Rambam, might be from this word, teshra hagamalim and teshra sa'ani. That's one thing. Now, next point. Where does the Rambam, according to the Achronim, that the Rambam says both, right? If you have uman, but not kayama, or you have kayama, but not uman, right? So the Rambam says that in both of these cases, it's also midravon, in both these cases. Where does that come from? How does the Rambam know that, or how did the Achronim know the Das HaRambam to go both ways? Right? We saw that the Rambam only has, if it's not my soman, but shal kayama.
Well, the way that you presented it before, then it's two conditions. So like, and I told you need two to be d'oraisa, so once you know that.
Okay, in other words, mathematics. Right? 2, 0, 1. Right? It's just the Rambam's making a quantitative distinction. That's what that Achronim said.
I mean, I wouldn't have said it like that.
Correct. Right. How would you have said it?
I don't think it's a quantitative distinction of like 2 versus 1, but like the quality of those characteristics such that each one would be sufficient to make it similar enough that it'd be us from the Rabbanan, but not the real deal.
In other words, the paradigmatic kesher is both. If I am similar in any one way, it's us from the Rabbanan.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to say it. It's not exactly quantitative. You're saying a little more on this.
In terms of like the characteristic of what those two things are.
Say the Rambam has two characteristics of the nut. If you have one of those, it's usher. If you have one of those, it's usher midravana. Some of that, just so I have this sefer, Tau Malachos, which I was reading on the train on the way here. He's one of Rabbi Simon's friends. He's like a Sephardi in Williamsburg.
What?
Rabbi Simon is connected to all of these unusual people. We'll just say it like that. So he points out that the Gemara, right, has a min'ar and a sandal. No? We just read that Gemara. Right? The case of the min'ar and the case of the sandal, and one is the shoemaker and one is the sandal maker. Why does the Gemara need both min'ar and sandal? So this Satmar Dayan from Williamsburg, I think his name is like Rabbi Gutman or something, he argues that maybe the fact that the Gemara says it in two ways is a shtick or raya, that in both directions it's going to be Asur Midrabanan, that there are two forms of an Asur Midrabanan.
What's each one?
Well, I don't know if each one is particular to one form. I'm just saying that the fact that the Gemara doubles, the Gemara could have just said min'al or could have just said sandal. The fact that we say min'al and sandal indicates that they're two different situations.
What's a min'al?
A min'al is a shoe. A sandal is a sandal.
Can't you be talking about two different shoes?
Huh?
Can't you be talking about two different shoes?
I don't think so. I mean, the Gemara says that min'al and sandal are two different things.
Right.
And therefore,
meaning the two usages are just the Gemara talking about different shoes.
No, but why does the Gemara? All our Gemara has to do, according to the Rambam, is tell us if you have both qualities, then you're chayiv min hatayra. If you have zero qualities, it's heter gomer. And one quality, the way you said it, it's similar enough, so it's asur midrabanan. We could have said the same thing by minal. We could have said the same thing by sandal. Why do I need both situations, one of minal, one of sandal?
Well, maybe one's more intuitive, based on, like, a sandal is tied more than, like, you know what I mean?
No, so you're saying that one of them is...
like a paradigm example of a shoe you would tie, and one of them is less intuitive, but even that would be an issue of kosher.
Okay, I mean, it's certainly... is possible. I'm not sure which one would be more paradigmatic of kosher, which one would be less, right? But if you understand against the simple diuk in the Rambam, if you understand that for the Rambam, like the Mishnah Berurah Paskins, etc., that whenever you have one characteristic, it's asur midrabanan, so it's possible that the Gemara sets it up, min al and sandal, as different things to teach me that. Okay. Now, Shulchan Aruch quotes this discussion. It turned to page 10. It's Simon Shin Yud Zayin, Sif Aleph. Right, the Mechaber again passes like the Rambam, and that's what he says. HaKosher Kesher Shol Kayama Vihu Ma'isa Umen Chayiv Kigon Kesher Gamalin Kesher Sapanim, etc. Now, in the Rabbi Ribiat book on Hilchos Shabbos, he says basically we are not exactly sure what these things are, but the pashtus is that a keshar gamalin is, I think they would do like a pierced nose on the camel. And my guess is it's not an easy profession, so I become a camel nose piercer, but they would pierce the nose of a camel and they would stick they'd stick like a rope, a strong rope, inside the camel's nose. And then they would use that, they would tie a knot on that, and then they would like tie straps up to the camel's nose. So if you want to have like a camel caravan, so you have a bunch of camels that are traveling together, and the way you have a bunch of camels traveling together is that how do you keep each camel in place? Or how do you lead a camel? So I don't think it's a muzzle. I think they actually pierce a camel's nose and they stick. Right, there has to be some term for this in English, right? Then you make a again.
Can I look it up?
Yeah, and this is why you have computers. Right, camel nose piercing muzzle. I don't know.
I'll look it up.
Huh?
I'll crest whatever she comes up with.
Yeah. I don't know. Why do they still do it?
Right.
It's
gross.
Cannot wear a bitten leg. So they can't wear the same thing that a horse does with like the
thingy.
So they use a rope for leading the animal that's attached to a nose peg that's inserted into a hole near the camel's nose like a nose piercing.
Let's just say I'm happy I don't have that job.
Right. Like,
they're called nose piercing.
This is my camel. Right?
Gorgeous.
As you can tell, it's a beautiful camel. So what they do is they make a hole in the camel's nose and they stick a, right? This explains everything. And they stick a peg through the camel's nose, right? And then they tie like strings up to it to lead the camel.
Is there a picture, Sarah?
Yeah.
Are you saying that my artwork is not good?
That's not, your artwork isn't gory.
It's not gory, it's just like weird. Like, I don't know how gory.
Now that's Kesher HaGamalin. So that requires apparently the
what would be the object form of that?
The object form?
Yeah, like,
I'd say Kesher Shel Gamalim.
Isn't that what Kesher
HaGamalim
is?
Well, no. Over here, what we could say is HaGamalim, right? Sapanim. It doesn't say Kesher Shel Sefina. It doesn't say Kesher Shel Gamal. Right? That's the... Again, this is what the Vilna Gaon says is the diuk to the Rambam. That says Gamalim, not Sapanim, not Shel Gamal. Okay, again, the Rambam holds the definition of kosher to be Chayiv Min HaTorah is you have two characteristics. It's a professional knot, and it is a knot that is done to last for a long time. As be shel umen and shel kayama. Good? Now, the Mechaber paskins like the Rambam. Right? The Mechaber says, kosher kesher shel kayama v'hu ma'isa umen is chayiv, kigon kesher gamalin, kesher sapanim. Kesher sapanim is... that if you've ever been on a boat, they have like these people who stand at the shore Right? They have like these knots at like the, there are all these terms that you have to memorize for the SAT of like various bolt parts.
Yeah.
So they have like, I'm not the only one who went through this in high school, right? This is, so they tie some ropes up to the front of a boat, and then the people at the on the shore, they know how to pull it up and then tie it. So there are two different knots on the boat. There's the knot that is always attached to the boat. And then there is the knot that when the boat comes to shore, they tie it up, right? So the knot that is always attached to the boat is both a kesher uman and a kesher shel kayama. The knot that they tie when the boat comes into shore, so that knot is not shel kayama, because they're going to undo the knot when the 10 o'clock ferry goes.
So it's not.
Well, no, there is one knot that is attached to the boat itself, right? If this is my boat, right? Okay, my artwork is really terrible. But if this is my boat, so they have some knotted thing attached to the boat. And when the boat comes to shore, what they do is they take ropes and they tie it to that thing. This thing, this blue thing, right, is always on the boat. That is shel kayama, and they need a professional to tie it. The rope that they tie, like, to a post to keep the boat at shore, that rope is not shel kayama. But this thing is shel kayama. I think that's the pshat. At least it's not shel kayama. Okay. So I think that's the first point we want to make. So the Mechaber says, like the Rambam, to be chayiv, you need both characteristics. And also, kishrei ritzuos min av sandal, shekoshrin haratz anim b'shas asiyasan d'chein kol kiyotzi b'zeh, meaning the shoemaker, the way I understand it is like when they attach the sole to the shoe, they tie knots, which are permanent types of knots. Aba kosher kesher shokayama ve'eno ma'isa omen is pater. Right? The Mechaber just quotes the Rambam. Hagah, Rambam says, v'geish chokin shesvir lehu d'chol kesher shokayama afilu shel hedyot chayavin olav. That would be midoraisa. Chayavin means that you chayav a korban. So the Yesh Cholkin means, according to the Rashi and the Rush, it only has to do with time. It has nothing to do with the type of knot that's made.
But we didn't we say that they didn't give a share for
Yoraisa? We didn't define how long it has to be Chayav Min HaTorah.
Right.
Right? But it just has to be Shel Kayama, even if it's a Kesher Hedyot. It doesn't... Right, you don't need a professional to tie the knot.
I think they're defining shel kayama as time.
Yes, and the Rambam is also defining shel kayama as time. But the Rambam just adds a variable called umun versus hedyot.
Where did you see that?
I'm not sure, but I just think this is the taich of the words. Right, the Rambam says shel kayama maisa uman, and then the Rambam has a case that if it's kesher shel kayama and it's not maisa uman. So what does the word kayama mean? It probably means the amount of time that it lasts. Then the Rambam adds, Yeshom shekol kesher she'eno asui lahatir ba'oso yom atmo mikri shel kayama. Right? There are those who say that it's only eno shel kayama if you'll undo it the same day. Now we have to be careful. What this means is that eno shel kayama to be heter gomor.
Remember, according to Rashi, the only thing that matters is time. Right? According to Rashi, if it's shokayama in the sense of it's going to last super long, right, then it's going to be chayim. If it's hayama, let's say, sas, then it's going to be potter. If it's not hayama at all, then it's going to be mutter. The Rambo over here is defining this third category, the heter category. The Rambo says that some say that it has to be that you'll undo it the same day. Next, the achronim, and some say, the Rambo adds, that it has to be that you'll undo it within a week. Right? The heter category, that yesh mikin loma da'ad shiva yamim lo mikri shel kayama. So there are two mahalchim about whether it's a day or a week. Effectively, we are machmir. We're machmir basically on everything by Kesher. We're machmir like the Rambam, and we're machmir like Rashi. So let's say there's like in Boy Scout camp, they teach people like specific types of knots.
And in Girl Scout.
That was my question. In Girl Scout camp, they also, you went to Girl Scout camp?
Yeah.
So they teach you like how you make different knots. And so maybe you'll, so you could be very helpful in this year.
Sure.
Right? Yeah, so basically there are two shittos. What within Rashi world that it's a din in Zman entirely, some say a day, some say a week. Okay, so this means that, right, the Achronim say shoelaces, right? So shoelaces are usually undone every day, correct?
Unless you're a rabbi.
Unless you're a rabbi or you're super yeshivish or something, right? So shoelaces are undone every day. Is it considered a kesher shel umam?
One time I had my shoes double knotted and I thought I couldn't untie them, so I stuck my shoes.
So
pretty good. Yeah.
So actually, is anyone here good at like undoing knots? I brought this thing. This is like my physical therapist. My physical therapist, like I'm supposed to like use that. Like, so if you could undo knots, I could try to show you various types of knot things. But now, how long does it have to be
shokayama mamish? Right? In other words, the situation that it's mutter is one or seven. Kayama mamish, in order to be chayim, how long is it to be chayim? So there are three different shitos, right, in the Beis Yosef. Some say 30 days, some say 6 months, and some say 1 year. That's the amount of time it takes. It's not going to be easy to do. That's the amount of time it takes to...
But if, let's say the ship one, does it actually go up to undone?
The ship one, my understanding is that if it gets undone, it's like a freak. In other words, it's something went wrong. When you tie the thing to the nose of the camel, it's supposed to last forever. Okay, now. Then the Shulchan Aruch writes that undoing a knot is the same as tying a knot, etc. Rama continues, V'yesh Omrim. You have it? It's like five lines before the end of this source. V'yesh Omrim. Truth is, you don't have to undo that knot, because what I could do is just take off my tie and like... V'yesh Omrim.
Okay, Eze mikri kesher sho'omen. Da'afilo v'she'eno shol kayama aser l'kashro, v'hu adin lahatiro v'chein nohagen. The Ramah says that we are machmir for the Rambam, which would mean that if I have a mice, a kesher shel uman, it's going to be at least aser midrabanan. And the Ramah writes that we should be careful not to undo any double knot, because any double knot is potentially a kesher shel uman.
Question. Didn't we just say that we're not the key in what's like Kesher Shaluman? So shouldn't it be that if we're Machner the Rambam, it actually ends up being a Kula, because if you don't know what that is, you just assume it doesn't exist, so you don't need.
But we're Machmir both for Rashi and for the Rambam. Meaning, if I'm Machmir for the Rambam, so anything that's a Kesher Shaluman is going to be at least Asur Midrabanan.
Didn't say we don't know what a Kesher Shaluman is?
And therefore, I have to be choshish that everything is a kesher sho'oman. Any double knot, we assume, is a kesher sho'oman. Even tying shoes, that's what it would seem. But the Achronim want to say like this. The Achronim want to say that the pshat, it's mistaber. This is the Mishnah Berurah Os Yudalar, I think. What, you got it?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. You're very good, actually. I could never. I tried today. I want to try to demonstrate different types of knots in a minute. We're gonna, or maybe Sarah, since she went to Girl Scout Camp, will demonstrate different types of knots. We'll do that in a minute. Let's just look at the Mishnah Berurah Sif cutting your dalad. Mishnah Berurah writes, again, since we, according to the Rif and the Rambam, a kesher shel uman is usher, even if you'll undo it the same day. But according to Rashi, anything I undo the same day is mutter. Rashi holds it's all a din and zman. But according to the Rif and the Rambam, even if I'll undo it the same day, it's going to be aser if it's a kesher shel uman. And we don't know what's considered a kesher shel uman. So therefore, everything is aser. Now, Sarah asked, one second, wouldn't that mean that you can't tie your shoes on Shabbos? Mistavra zach the Mishnah Berurah, d'chol kesher shekoshen also hadek, it means any very tight knot. Right? So if it's a very loose knot, so a loose double knot is shoelaces. So in halacha, a single knot, each twining is considered a knot. Okay? So this is like stage, remember like in nursery, this is stage one of the shoelace. Right? Then if I do something on top of that, whether it is like a sash that you double knot it, but it's very loose, or a tichel that you double knot and it's very loose, right? So that is, again, it's a double knot because it's twisting on top of twisting. So the Mishnah Berurah's chiddush is, which is accepted by everybody, that when the Ramah says that we're machmir, that every double knot is a problem, that means a tight double knot. But if it's a loose double knot, then it's okay. We could not survive without this. What?
I think I was lied to.
When they told you that every double knot...
that I can't double knot my shoelaces.
So one second, but double knotting your shoelaces is really... what we call double knotting shoelaces is really triple knotting.
Oh, okay.
Right, because knot number one is that first, right?
Yeah.
This is knot number one. Then knot number two, but to tie, let's say, a sash or a belt on my bathrobe, right? Even though it's a double knot technically, but that's going to be okay because it's a loose knot. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes this just as mistaber. This is the Magen Avraham's svara. That's the Magen Avraham's svara. Anything that is tight, we assume is called a kesher shel uman. Now, the thing is that there are certain things which al pi halacha don't have the din of a cheftza of a knot. Now, Let's go slowly. The pashtus in the malach of kosher is that it's a way of attaching things together. I give you over here a Mordechai in Meseches Chulin. The Gemara in Erevin talks about if you find tefillin on the street, etc. So you could bring the tefillin in, machnis and zug zug, whatever it is. And it's clear in the Gemara that you're not allowed to tie the knots of tefillin, the knots of tzitzis, on Shabbos. That's point one. The Torah says, ukshartam osa yotcha, that you should tie the tefillin to yourself. A man should tie the tefillin to himself, etc. The mitzvah is kshira. What does that mean? So Rabbeinu Eliyahu has a shita that you have to make the knot every day. Of your tefillin. Let's talk about tefillin. The Torah does not say ukshartam by tzitzis, does it? It says gedilim tase lach alavak kantos ksuscha. It says v'hayolachem tzitzis. I don't think it ever says kshira by tzitzis.
But then wouldn't that definitionally not be a tight knot if you have to do it every day?
Slowly.
Wouldn't that definitionally not be a tight knot if you have to do it every day?
Well, it could be very tight, but I undo it because I'm somewhat skilled at undoing knots. Like, when you ask Sarah, like a knot that I could not undo for, like, I really tried this morning. I couldn't undo it.
Wait, what? How are we trying? What are we doing? We're unknotting?
So I want to do one other thing before you try. How do you make a slip knot?
You do two and then,
yeah.
I did not go to Girl Scouts, but I think you go like this.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Okay.
I mean, I don't have enough.
Now, okay, here. Should we go? We'll go like this. How do you make a slip knot? Right.
Okay. So you double it up. Here, I'll teach you.
Okay, you teach.
No. Here, you're gonna do a thing.
Okay.
Okay, line it up like this.
I double it up.
Double it up.
Okay.
Then take the two ends.
Two ends.
Cross over each other with your hand in the middle holding.
Right.
And then with the space that your hand is holding, slip what was initially the top into there.
Slip it through.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a slip knot. Everyone agree?
No, you slip it halfway through. That way you still have, like, enough to pull it out.
So it's supposed to be that with a slip knot, you can just pull one side and it comes out.
Okay, so I'm going to
answer that. It's supposed to be that you just pull one side and it comes off. This is show and tell.
There you go. Okay, wait. I'm literally going to forget how to do it right this second. Okay, you go like this, but then you don't pull it all the way through. So
right.
You
have that sounds right.
Still sticking out, and so you pull it tighter like this, and then now that it's not, you just go like this.
So you did Girl Scouts.
No.
Right.
I just always have to tie bags on Johnny.
So thank you. So this is a slip knot. Right, so a slip knot, the assumption is not a knot at all because it's very easy to undo and therefore, by definition, does not have the cheftza of a knot. Let's go slowly. The shita of the Rabbeinu Eliyahu in the Tosfit, in the Mordechai in Chulin, is that when you tie tefillin, every day you have to make a knot in the tefillin. Now, here's the problem. If I have to make the knot in the tefillin every day, how could it ever be a kesher shel kayamach? How, right? The Gemara says, I'm not allowed to tie my tefillin knot on Shabbos.
Isn't it mukta anyway?
So it's only mukta because you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos.
Right.
So, but let's say...
This is where your bar mitzvah speech comes up.
Yeah.
Correct.
Or if you're a woman.
Right, so, but... Again, tefillin, whether it's one of the din of a kela shem latol, isra kela shem latol, a heter is discussion in Shulchan Aruch and Simin Shem Ches. But the point is, right, a slip knot is not a knot at all. That we'll get back to this in a second. But Rabbeinu Eliyahu says that you have to tie your tefillin knot every day. So the kasha is, I have to tie it every day. So by definition, that means it's not a knot. Because it's not going to last for 24 hours.
Wait, but I have a question. I asked that question like 2 minutes ago, and then you said, no, but it could be really tight.
It could be?
Really tight.
So even if it could be really tight, but let's say it like this.
I don't know whether Rabbeinu Eliyahu paskins like the Rambam or paskins like Rashi and the Rush. Assuming that I'm choshish for Rashi and the Rush, no, assuming that I'm choshish for the Rambam, right? So how is it that you undo your, what's it called, every day? Maybe you tie your, what? If it's just a timing thing. So it should be heter gomer to, should be heter gomer to tie your tefillin. So the Mordechai answers, I underlined this line in the Mordechai. Mihu nirali, derayas Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam argues on the Rabbeinu Eliyahu. If you look in the fourth line on the top of page 10, Rabbeinu Tam says, Rabbeinu Eliyahu, you say you have to tie the knots on the tefillin every day. That's not correct. Rather, the word ukshartim just means that you tighten. It doesn't mean that you tie it. Rabbeinu Tam tries to bring a raya from the Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara says, if you find tefillin, etc., that's the raya that Rabbeinu Tam has. How can you deflect Rabbeinu Tam's raya? So zok the Mordechai nirali, drayas Rabbeinu Tam in a raya, the afagav delav kesher hu osur lekosher b'shabbes, dirachmana karye kesher. Hey, the Torah says that it is called a kesher. If the Torah says it's called a kesher, so therefore by definition, it's a kesher. The definition of kesher might be something that the Torah calls a kesher. So even though it's meant to be done and undone on a regular basis, but the Torah says it's a kesher, so it's a kesher. The poskim go a step further. And they say that you see from Rabbeinu Eliyahu that the definition of the malacha of kosher is not chibur. The definition of the malacha of kosher is making a chafza of a kesher. Now, what a chafza of a kesher is not 1,000,000% clear. But if it's not a chafza of a kesher, the assumption is that you cannot be chayiv, aniva, a bow. A bow could last for a very long time, can't it? But a bow is not a kesher, by definition. A slip knot is not a kesher. So here's the thing, okay? Assuming that a slip knot is not a kesher, that's our assumption. So is it mutter to tie a knot, to tie a tie on Shabbos? So you see this? Right? Abigail did a beautiful job. Does this look like a regular tie?
No. It doesn't. Yes, it does.
It does.
It does.
Doesn't it look, this isn't a slip knot that you made, but doesn't it look like a tie? If the definition of a slip knot is something that you could undo just by pulling, well, I just tightened it. If the definition of a slip knot is that you could undo it just by pulling on one side, right? A tie that is done loosely can be undone just by pulling on one side. Rabbi Blake, one of his articles, writes that when he was in yeshiva in Torah Vidas, so some of the guys were reporting that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said, you're not allowed to tie ties on Shabbos.
Oh, what do they do?
I guess you tie it from, you tie it from before Shabbos. Now, here's the thing. If I tie from before Shabbos, that makes it much worse. Especially if I have a Shabbos tie, that means it's a full week. And a full week, we saw from the Ramah's one opinion that that's going to be, right?
What if you bought a tie?
If you buy a tie, like 5-year-old boys, like the tie is old.
Yeah, but like you didn't you didn't tie it and then have the tie last for a year. It came tied.
But it doesn't matter. If it comes tied, it's a kesher that you're going to be chayiv for.
But you're not tying it.
I didn't tie it, but someone else tied it.
Why would you be chayiv if you're not tying it?
For untying it. Kosher and matir are flips.
But are you, so, is it untying it or just loosening it? Or you have to mamish untie it?
No, so I think you have to mamish untie it. But let's say I'm so yeshivish that I never untie my tie. So then if I ever decide to untie my tie, I am going to really be chayiv. So Rabbi Blake tells a story that he went over to Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and he said, they say that you say it's usher to put on ties on Shabbos. Rabbi Yaakov said to him,
never listen to what anyone reports in my name. Right? People say stuff all the time, but it's not necessarily true, or oftentimes it's not true. So basically, what we're getting at, it's not abundantly clear how we get to this point in halacha. Remember, the Rambam says a double knot is considered a ma'isa uman. If it's a ma'isa uman, at least it's asur midrabanan. Right? The Mishnah Berurah quotes that a double knot is only a ma'isa uman if it's tight. Well, how tight is tight? What does it mean? Now, are there Girl Scout knots that are not tight? What are some examples of Girl Scout knots? What? You were seven. It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Wait, so a slip knot, they teach you in Girl Scout camp, but as we saw, that's not really a knot.
Right.
By the way, there is an opinion in Tanoim that the opinion of Reb Meir is that any knot that you can undo with one hand is not considered a knot. Right? That's one sheet in the Tanoim. What's interesting is when we do a chalitza, we dafka tell the woman who does the chalitza to only do it with one hand. The last chalitza I was at, this is close for me. I got to be like sort of a dayan. By chalitza, you have three main dayanim and two like on the side. Three dayanim in the front, two on the side. So I got to be with Rav Schechter, the dayan on the side. I'm like, well, you know, according to the Tan Reb Meir,
what? Who are the three dayanim?
Shlomo Weissman, Michal Zilberman, and I think Rabbi Willig. No, because in order to be a dayan on the chalitza, you have to be there the day before for kviyas makom. Mm-hmm. You have to say that this is the chalitza zone, right? So Rabbi Schechter and I were not there the day before, so we got to be the nosafim. But this Tana in the Mishnah, I have to find where it is in the Mishnah, this Tana who says that any knot that you can undo with one hand is not halachically a knot, obviously, we don't assume that way because by chalitza, the assumption is that it has to be that you have to undo the knots. Okay, so bekitzer, there are the assumption that we are all making is that anything which is loose is not halachically considered a knot, even if it's a double knot. But if it's mamish, a professional knot, if you have to go to camp to learn how to do it, so then it is going to be, then that's considered a ma'isa uman, even if it's loose. So my understanding, are there women who leave their tichols tied for a very long time?
They have pre-tied. You're not tying it. You're extending the tie.
So you just like pull it over your head.
Sometimes you'll knot it after that, but yeah.
Uh-huh.
Does that make a difference? If I have a pre-tied and then I'm like...
So I think if you're mosif on a knot, the assumption is that you're chayiv. Like if I add a knot, if my tzitzis begin to get loose and I tighten them, right? So I'm going to be chayiv just by making it a little bit tighter.
But if pre-tied or not, like they just sew it that way.
Oh,
it's
just
called pre-tied, but I don't think there's an actual tie. Yeah.
It's not a knot.
Yeah, no, just like with like an elastic.
Okay, so I guess that would be like tying something...
It probably should be a first tie.
Well, it's like a first tie. Okay, maybe. Again, I'm not... I plead ignorance when it comes to tichols. The issue that comes up is what are the good cases of tying knots? So the big issue that comes up is glila on the Sefer Torah. It used to be that Sifrei Torah had just something that they would tie around and tie like a knot to hold the Torah together. Today they have like the clasps.
Can you hold like the cheat that says less than a week because you'll use it for Shabbos?
So it depends on the Torah I have.
Do I have a Torah that I'm going to use the same Torah Monday and Thursday?
What if it's Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos, Hanukkah? You're saying one of the Torahs.
Right, so sometimes you could have a Torah that you're not going to use for months. But we also have to be choshesh that any double nap for more than one day is going to be usher if it's a tight double nap. So I remember when I was in Moresh HaKolo 10,000 and a quarter years ago. So one time they opened the Sefer Torah on Shabbos and they see that it's double knotted. So Rabbi Willig calls Shira Willig, who was then 11 years old, out from the women's section. She was completely humiliated. She came into the men's section. She undid the knot.
Wait, what? Aren't you not supposed to have Katanim do that? And she's not.
So
she's like,
I think what Rabbi Willig was assuming is that many poskim, this knot was not supposed to be done. If I do glee on the Sefer Torah, what I'm supposed to do, it might be easier with that. I'm supposed to go like this and then make a bow on top, like my shoelaces, right? Or something like this. But sometimes it gets stuck. So the Chaya Adam writes that if you plan on doing a bow and it becomes a knot, so halachically you're allowed to undo it.
So why did they undo it?
What?
Why
so lav dafka do we hold like a Chaya Adam? We also have those shitos that if it's meant to last for a week, then it's considered chokayama for just a day. Right? Again, I'd say like, right, that it's not considered any sort of shokayama if it's within a week. Right? That would mean that we have two reasons to be mekel on this net. Right? I have the Chaya Adam, and they have the Shita in the Ramah that it depends on the week, not on the day. Based on these two things, Rabbi Willig felt that he could be mekel with Shira Willig under, I don't, what's her married name? I don't know. He could be mekel Shira Willig undoing the knot on the Sefer Torah. He felt that that was considered acceptable in this situation. Don't know. So the assumption that a tie, that you, a necktie, the assumption that that's like a slip knot, is that pashat? Anyone want to try to do a necktie? Is it the same as a slip knot? That you go over, right? And then around. And then through.
I feel like it's exactly
what you should. So it's exactly that it should be a real knot or it should not be a real knot? It is a real knot. And it, in order to undo it, some of the Achrenim say that the definition of kosher, let's say it like this. Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva asks the Kasha, if both the malacha of kosher and the malacha of tofer are malachos of chibur, so what's the difference between kosher and tofer? Right? We said before from the Mordechai that maybe the nature of the malacha of kosher is making a kesher, which is tautological, but okay. But there are some who say that kosher and tofer are both malachos of chibur, so we have to figure out what's the difference in kosher and tofer.
Didn't we say we had tofer, that tofer was I a third thing, whereas kosher is like itself?
So tofer is I tie two things together with a string.
Right.
I use one string to keep two things together.
But I mean, you're attaching two things via a third medium.
Right.
As opposed to you're looping one medium around itself.
But let's say in the case of that the Gemara attempted, I'm kosher the Urios to the Adonim. Right? Remember, that was the Havamin in the Gemara. So why is that called kosher, not tofer? So Moshe writes in the Tshuva, in his opinion, kosher is something that you undo by reversing the action
that you did it. Tofer, you undo with a totally different ma'isa. I undo tofer by, let's say, cutting it. No? Korea is the opposite of tofer. The problem with these svaras is that they are very flimsy. Now look at the Rambam. Do I have this Rambam for you on the sheet? I think the Rambam is Perek Yud Halacha Zayin. The Rambam says, if I'm posel chavolim, right, for example, you know twist ties?
Yes.
Right? So a twist tie is that you take this and you twist it around and around. You twist it a few times and it holds the plastic bag together. Correct? Is that a twist tie? You have a bo challah. How do they hold the challah bag together?
Oh, twist
tie. A twist tie. Twisties.
Twist ties.
Call it whatever you want. Is it mutter to use those things on Shabbos? So the Rambam writes in Perek Yud of Hilcha Shabbos that if you are posel chavolim, if you there was a sitter Rambam here. Right? The Rambam writes in Perek Yud of Hilcha Shabbos, if I am posel chavolim, meaning if I make a rope. The way you make rope is that you take small string things and you twist it together. No? The Rambam says that that is called kosher. Here, Rambam Perek Yud Halacha Ches. Haposel chavolim min hahutzin min hacholaf mechutei tzemem mechutei pishtan ochutei seyo kiyotzi bezeh. Now, according to the Rambam, is the malacha of kosher, is the malacha of chibur, is the malacha of making a chatz of a kesher? The Rambam isn't, you're not making, again, I'm not 100% sure what a chatz of a kesher is, but if a slip knot is not really a knot, I think by twisting a rope a few times, that's not really a chatz of a knot. The Rambam says that I'm chayiv, it's a tolda of kosher, because I am making, I'm twining something together. That might mean that using twist ties or twisties or whatever they're called, that those things might be usher on Shabbos. So in the Sefer of the Satmar Dayan that I was reading on the... What?
How do you retie a challah bag?
Oh, so the way you retie a challah bag is you...
Bag and
you go around and around and around. You don't twist it together.
Yeah. With the twist ties, you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I go around and around and around. I don't twist it. I don't tie it together. Maybe. The Satmar Dayan Sefer that I was reading on the way here, he argued that it's usher to use twist ties on Shabbos. And Penina's shaking her head. Right? This is what you learned in high school. Right? You can't use twist ties on Shabbos. My Rebbe from high school, Rav Moshe Brown from Yeshiva Far Rockaway, he's a very big Talmud Chacham. He has a Sefer called Tevas Moshe. So in his Sefer, he argues, the problem with Hilchos Shabbos is like people are saying their own svaras, which are lav davka compelling. But here's his svara. His svara is that it's mutter to use a twist tie on Shabbos because ordinarily when I make something into rope, when I take small strings, I make it into rope, it's the twisting itself that holds into place that makes it one unit. By the twisties, twist ties, whatever we call them, it's just the fact that the material is metal and that makes it into one thing. If I take this, okay, and Heinz Bismargen, I twist, it's not going to stay together, no? I can't keep a plastic bag together like this. The only way it stays together is because it's metal. So his argument is perhaps it's mutter to use twist ties on Shabbos. For that reason.
Wait, why does it being metal make it okay?
Because
it's not my mice of twisting that holds it in place. It's the material that it's made of that holds it in place.
But if you didn't twist it, it wouldn't stay in place because it was metal.
Okay. But if I, the shaila is, am I allowed to twist it? Am I allowed to untwist it? Michal seems confused.
I just don't get that.
I think his svara is that when the Rambam says posel chavolim is chayiv, the Rambam is saying that I do a mice of twisting that ends up making this item into one entity. But if it's not my mice of twisting that makes it one entity, it's just the material that it's made out of.
That's what I'm saying. If I had two things of metal, not a magnet, but two things of metal that were made out of the material that the twist ties are made out of,
right,
and I didn't twist it, it wouldn't stay together.
So correct. But my mice of twisting itself is not the mice that keeps it together. It's the material that it's made out of that keeps it together.
Yeah, I don't get that. Meaning it could be that we're not going to get it.
Again, I think the svara is not simple. But the shaila is there a heter to use twist ties on Shabbos? So the Bir Halacha in Simin Shin Yud Daled. And Simon Shin Yud Daled, in Se'if Ches. Shin Yud Daled Se'if Ches. Right, the Mechaber writes that Chosalos Shel Tmarim Ugrogros, if you have like these bags of figs, right, if it's tied up with a knot, you're allowed to undo matir v'soser sharsheros hachevel v'chotei chafil b'saken. You have like this bag of some sort, right? Shin yudal sevches. So I can undo it. It's mutter to undo it. So the Bir Halacha quotes that this is the lashon of the Gemara is a choslos shel tmarim mafkia. By the lashon of the Gemara is that I do mafkia. So Rashi over there writes that mafkia means that like you cut it open. But Reb Kiva Eger asks, doesn't the Rambam say that it's kosher? If it's kosher, so undoing is a melacha of soser. The Bir Halacha goes on to say that this din in Shulchan Aruch is based on the shita of the Or Zarua, who says that the chosalos shel tamarim is not really the melacha of, or twisting something together is not the malacha of kosher, it's the malacha of tove. The tove is making thread. If you hold that the nature of twisting stuff together, which is usser, the reason why it's usser is because it's tove, it's making thread, so there's no iser to undo it, because there's no on malacha of tove. Sophia's having fun on me, right? Remember, we spoke about this, right? That you're allowed to use nail polish remover, because there's no on malacha of toveya. If the nature of twisting things together is that it's usher because it's tove, so then it would be mutter to undo the it'll be mutter to undo the twist ties. So the shaila is, can you rely on this sheet of the Or Zarua that it's mutter to undo the things? To tie up the twist knot or to twist it might be either malach of toive or kosher. But one could argue that if it's tove, it's mutter to undo it, because there's no unmalach of tove. Once I'm in tove land, so one could argue that it's mutter to use the twist ties in Gansen, because the malach of tove means I'm making thread. In this case, I'm not making thread at all. Right? When I use my twist tie, it's not making thread. What's the minhag olam about using twist ties? What do they teach you? What?
Yeah,
never heard an issue. Okay, so I'm like creating chumras.
Heard of it.
You've heard of it. So What I try to do on Shabbos is I try to tie it up going around and around and around. Right? Instead of twisting, I try to go around and around, so therefore it's not considered any sort of poso chavolim. I don't know. I don't know exactly. Many people, I think, just like rip through the plastic bag.
What?
You can't reuse it. What? So you have to get the type. If you buy the challah in the kosher market on the 187th corner, Amsterdam,
okay.
They say
they don't have.
It's plain plastic bags without any words. If you buy the challah in Key Food, it's a million times. The challah in Key Food is like not so good.
Yeah, right? Is this Market Height?
Market Heights, the challah is much better. So they get from Grinnendown's in Riverdale.
What's it called?
Grinnendown's in Riverdale? That's like a good bakery. It's a real bakery. Okay, so what we have to talk about next time is what about garbage bags?
Ooh.
Right? When I tie my knot on the garbage bag, am I ever going to untie that knot?
No,
because I'm throwing the garbage out. So it might be usher to tie a knot on my garbage bag. On the other hand, maybe it's not considered kesher shel kayama because you're going to be throwing it out and you don't care about it. If I want it to last as a kesher, fine. But over here, I don't want it to last. I don't care if the garbage man gets his hands all dirty or not. yes, it's mean.
But when does kavana matter?
Huh?
What? When does kavana matter?
Well, the whole yisod of kosher kavana matters.
Oh, right, this is last
right? Yeah. This is kayama in the shokan. By kosher, kavana matters. There is a gemara in sukkah. maybe next time we'll talk about this just because there is, we'll have to spend 5 more minutes on kosher next time. Okay.